Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
We're continuing our sermon series on the last week of Christ, following Christ through his final days in Jerusalem. And today we have reached Wednesday. So hear the scripture from the Gospel of Mark describing Wednesday in Jesus' last week. This is from Mark chapter 14, starting with verse 1. It was 2 days before the Passover and the festival of the unleavened bread. The chief priests and the scribes were looking for a way to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him. For they said, "Not during the festival, or there may be a riot among the people." While he was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very costly ointment of nard, and she broke open the jar and poured the ointment on his head. But some who were there said to one another in anger, "Why was this ointment wasted in this way? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii, and the money given to the poor." And they scolded her. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has performed a good service for me. For you always will have the poor with you, and you can show kindness to them whenever you wish, but you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for its burial. Truly, I tell you, wherever the good news is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in remembrance of her." Then Judas Iscariot, the one of the 12, went to the chief priests in order to betray him to them. When they heard it, they were greatly pleased and promised to give him money. So he began to look for an opportunity to betray him. This is the good news of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
How's that? That better? Okay, good. He was framed. He was always being, they were always trying to trick him into some way of framing him into an execution. And then we find out about Judas. Judas is the disciple who, of course, goes along with this conspiracy against Jesus. And then finally, when we read out of the Gospel of Mark, we begin to realize that Mark frames Jesus as well, but frames him in a totally different way. Frames him in the way of a literary tool that he uses to help us understand what is going on in Jesus' life in these last days. Mark is a believer in Jesus. He is trying to help the depiction of how we can understand what Jesus wanted us to understand in those last moments of his life. And so on Monday, Jesus takes the story of the fig tree and surrounds another story with that story. He surrounds the story of the overturning of the tables in the temple with this story of the fig tree, because he was trying to help us understand that the church of that day was just like a fruitless fig tree. It wasn't feeding anybody any longer. It wasn't enabling people to be able to be fed. It had lost all of its fruitfulness. And then on Wednesday, we find now that there is this unnamed woman who anoints Jesus' body for burial. And Mark surrounds this story, frames this story with another story, the story about the betrayal of Judas. It's another way that what Mark is trying to do is trying to help us understand what Jesus is trying to teach us on Wednesday. If you look at the 14th chapter of the Gospel of Mark, you will find there that the story is, as Dina read it to you a few moments ago, a story that begins with those who are trying to build a conspiracy against Jesus, looking for a way to try to trap him. And then comes the story of this woman without a name, but who is very faithful. And then it is Judas that we're told will be the traitor that those that are trying to try to trap Jesus are finding. So we have this story of the best disciple compared to the worst disciple. This woman compared to Judas, a believer, a true believer, and one who is a traitor. that we have one who is anointing and one who is betraying, and they are counter-planned to one another. You know, often we blame the crowds for Jesus, for his execution. And certainly when you get to the 15th chapter, the crowds do yell for Barabbas rather than Jesus. We know that part of the story. But the truth of the matter is, if you look at a lot of this story, it is really the crowds that saved Jesus for a long time. The crowds on Monday, for instance, just after Jesus had overturned the tables in the temple, it says that they were that those who wanted to trap Jesus and arrest Jesus, that it says that they were afraid of him because the whole crowd was spellbound by his teaching, that they didn't feel like they could arrest him because they were afraid of what those who were listening to him would do. On Tuesday, when Jesus was having his authority questioned, it says that they were afraid of him because the people stood with Jesus as a true prophet, as they had John, and they were afraid that if they did anything, the crowd would turn on them. And then in the 12th chapter, Jesus tells this parable about the wicked tenants that we talked about last week. And the people that were trying to trap Jesus were beginning to realize that this parable was him telling them something against themselves. And so it said that they would try to arrest him then, but they were afraid of the crowd. And then finally in the 14th chapter, it says that they would have arrested Jesus on Wednesday, but they were afraid that during the Passover, there were so many Jewish people that were interested in what Jesus was saying that they would not be able to arrest him without some kind of riot. So we may blame the crowds for Jesus' arrest, for Jesus' execution. The truth of the matter was it wasn't the crowds at all. It was the disciples. And that's really what this story is about. This unnamed woman who seems to be so unimportant is the one true disciple. And those that seem so important and want to be important are the ones who will betray, deny, and send Jesus into the execution at the crucifixion. If you look at this story in Mark, it's a fascinating story. And you look at these last chapters, and Mark does something very interesting. He tells the story in three different times. Jesus tells the disciples what he's going to do. It happens in the 8th chapter, the 9th chapter, and the 10th chapter. It happens in the 8th chapter, in chapter 8, verse 31. And Jesus foretells his death and resurrection. It says that, "Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed after 3 days and rise again." And he said all of this openly. And then it says that Peter rebuked Jesus and said, "Jesus, that's not the way we have it all planned out. You are the Messiah. You are the one who is going to be the new king. You are going to take us out of all of our bondage. Just like we were taken out of our bondage in Egypt, now we'll be taken out of our bondage in Rome. Because the Messiah that we believe in is the great warrior king." And Jesus says to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. For your mind is not on the things in heaven, but are on the things of earth." He goes on and he tells that same story again in the 9th chapter, in chapter 9, verse 30. And it says that they went on from there and passed through Galilee, and he didn't want anyone to follow him, for he said that the Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him, and after 3 days after being killed, he will rise again. And again, he tells that story, and then following that, there is a question among the disciples of who's the greatest among us. Jesus tells him that he's dying, he's going to die and be raised, and what they're talking about is who's the greatest among them. And then again in the 10th chapter, he tells them again that he's going to die and be raised after 3 days. And this time, James and John are fighting over who's going to sit, have the best seats in his glory. Lord, let us sit one on your right hand and one on your left hand in your glory. It is amazing when you look at the disciples, how Jesus tells them that he's going to die and be raised on the third day, and all they can think about is what's in it for them, how they are going to be glorified, how they are going to be important. And then we come to this story of an unnamed woman, so unimportant that we don't even know her name. And yet, she's the only one who's heard what Jesus says. She's the only one who has heard Jesus say, I'm going to die, and I'm going to rise again. And so she takes a very expensive ointment that's used in the burial process, and she breaks it open, and she anoints him. And she anoints him for his burial now because she's believed what he said, that I'm not going to be here for you to anoint me after my burial because I'm going to rise. The disciples that Jesus had chosen couldn't hear what he was saying, couldn't believe what he was saying. And yet this unnamed woman believed what he said and responded faithfully to what he said. You see, these folks are going on the way, it says, going on the way from Bethany to Jerusalem. And as they go on the way, they find that they're trying to learn how to follow Jesus. It says in the 10th chapter, that 32nd verse, it says that Jesus was walking ahead of them, and those who were following were afraid. You know, I think that we've lost our fear of following the Lord in our society today. Somehow, we are much more like the disciples that Jesus chose than we are this unnamed woman. We think we're following Jesus, but we really are not listening to what he's telling us. We're not willing to sacrifice for what he is telling us we need to be doing. He's continually communicating to us what is going on around us and expecting us to respond faithfully. And yet most of the time, we as his disciples are looking at what's in it for us, what's going to be good for me, how am I going to be glorified in my service to the Lord. You see, we really need to recognize that this story tells us that we need to be more like the unnamed woman than we are like the 12 that Jesus chose. We need to be more like the one who felt like she was an outsider than those who felt as though they were on the inside. We're all struggling to try to follow Jesus. Jesus is walking ahead of us, and we are trying to follow. But my friends, it is so difficult to follow in the steps of Jesus. And if you think it's simple, you have fallen into the trap of the 12 that Jesus had chosen. And you're going to find yourself in the same position that they found themselves, of denying, of betraying, of going to sleep on Jesus just at the time that he needed them the most in the Garden of Gethsemane. You see, I'm afraid that we're much more like the 12 than we are the faithful disciple, this unnamed woman, who I guess you would just have to say is the first Christian. That we are the ones who have forgotten what it means to listen and to obey and to respond faithfully to what God is doing in the world. The real problem that Jesus has is not the crowds, it's not the Pharisees, it's not the Sadducees, it's the disciples, because they're the ones who disappoint Jesus. And we need to ask ourselves the question, Lord, how is it that we disappoint you with our lives? And how is it that we can listen more effectively and more faithfully and respond to your love in our lives? Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We invite you to join us for our celebration services, an uplifting mix of contemporary and traditional worship styles, as we open our hearts to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Sunday mornings at 8:15, 9:30, or 10:45. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.